Donald Trump was asked by Stephen A. Smith just about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, how he felt that people reacted to his attack on education with Harvard, to which Donald Trump started rambling about Harlem and then literally lied, not just misunderstood, but lied and said there were riots in Harlem. But you look at the comments from the people, the Trump supporters in those comments, and they say, "You're twisting his words. He corrected himself." They're in this abusive relationship with this person that they can no longer, they're so attached to him. Their reality has become so simpatico with who Donald Trump is and what he represents that if they at any point say, you know, that's crazy that he just lied and said there was riots in Harlem, man, should I follow this guy anymore? They can't do that.
What's up, YouTube? Drill Sergeant here, and we got a special guest today. Now, you may have seen him on Sons of Liberty. I was there with Big Sarge, and I had such a good time with him that I invited him back. I said, we got to do a one-on-one. We got to go a little bit deeper. You know how we do, guys. JP, the Angry Ginger, what's going on, man?
Thanks for letting me come on here and talk with you. And yeah, I enjoyed that conversation with you, Big Sarge. And I think, you know, we should be having more of these conversations more often.
Yeah, definitely. Since we're there, the conversation, you basically on every single piece of media that I see from you, from your website to the Twitch to the YouTube, is it starts out with, we need to be having these conversations. And I wanted to start with this conversation. Why don't you tell them first the history in case they didn't see it before, how you got into it. And then we're going to talk about the back and forth conversation, because I think things have changed since you may have written that bio. And I want to know what you still think about this conversation deal. But let's start with where you started from.
Well, I mean, to be honest, I wasn't the most political person when I first got on here. I think that I grew up in, you know, a trailer park. I probably have a lot of things in common with your current Trump supporter as far as my history and the things I believed. I think that, you know, at one point or another in my life, you could have asked me about multiple different, you know, conspiracy theories, and I probably would have been more than happy to kind of get into it and talk a little bit about it, like you see a lot on the MAGA side nowadays. And then, you know, as I grew up and got older and entered into the workforce and became a successful, you know, leader, and saw people grow and saw my impact on people and realized my role in being that leader and what I had to do as far as like being not just correct about the things I believe, but, you know, morally correct, like a person that could take care of others. And as I got on here, and, you know, this all kind of coincides with becoming a father and being a husband. I've been with my wife for over 20 years, becoming a better person in all of those aspects. I saw what was going on with the Jordan Klepper Daily Show MAGA supporter interviews, and I really just couldn't believe that this was something that was real. I thought it was fake. I thought it was something that you know, you just, this is just for comedy. These people, there's not a lot of them, right? There's just like two or three or ten, or, you know. And as I got
this
to,
cannot be real.
Yeah, you know, you can't. It was very hard for me to wrap my mind around the fact that this would be what it is today. If you would have asked me a year and a half, 2 years ago, when I was doing the reactions to Klepper interviews and making jokes about people, whether or not, you know, we would be where we are today, there's no way. No way I would have told you. I would have said, no, this is just, these are just these certain people. People are going to make fun of it. They're going to make jokes about it. But eventually, we're going to get back to having real conversations, real normal conversations. And I think I spent a lot of my first year, year and a half, trying to have those conversations with MAGA people. I used to say, hey, you know, I grew up in a real bad place. So every once in a while, I had to go and see somebody get out of prison, you know. And when they got out of prison, we were standing outside, and we had a cigarette, and we had a hug for those people, because we said, all right, you messed up, you know, now you can get out, and get a job, we're going to do things right, and we're going to get back to, you know, being successful people. And I used to say to those guys, I go, you guys are in a cult. It's okay. When you get out the cult, I'll be there for you. I got a cigarette for you and a hug. We'll shake hands. We'll say you made some mistakes. You believe some crazy shit. You got caught up in some stuff you shouldn't have. But I've seen it happen to other people. So, you know, like, it's okay. We can get through this. And then about a year and a half later, I realized those conversations weren't doing any good.
There we go. Is it worth trying to talk to these people? Because it's absolutely fucking bonkers to try to act like, well, there's still something there to reach out to. It's almost like denying what you see in front of you. There's somebody literally stabbing themselves in the knee over and over and over again. You're gonna go, well, maybe he just needs a spoon. Like, that's not it. It's over with, right? Like, you gotta lock him up. You got to put his hands behind his back and do what's best for him without that person agreeing to it. And that's where I am. That's where I am. Case in point, you were watching Adam Mockler and The Conversation.
Yeah.
What the hell?
With the parents, the two parents?
Yes. If you guys, okay, YouTube. If you don't know, what happened is Adam Mockler was showing another, I guess, interviewer, YouTuber, podcaster who was interviewing his parents.
What a good two people, too, to judge it off of. Because what you're saying there about the dude stabbing himself in the leg, at one point or another, he's not stabbing himself in the leg. He's stabbing other people, you know? Yeah. And it's like, so you can take away the knife, you can give him a spoon, but he's still dangerous to all the people around him. And when you hear the mom, you know, answering some of the questions, you do hear that she still has some sort of empathy, some sort of common sense. And this is unfortunate because you see it in these relationships. I've seen it in personal relationships where the wife kind of gets the shorter end of the stick in the conversation, and the husband tends to dominate and wants to, you know, these are my political beliefs. And, you know, I think we kind of have this these roles that we still play in society, whether or not, you know, they're still legit the roles that we should be playing. I think in my relationship, I love that my wife has a voice, that she tells me when I'm wrong, that she corrects me, that she helps me grow, that she teaches me things. But I think a lot of older couples don't have that. And it almost sounds like in her position, she's trying to make it right what he believes, so that way she can still love him in the way she used to.
Wow. You know what? Wherever I was going to go with that, I'm stopping there. That's probably the absolute best explanation of that. And he basically just asked them questions that would seem normal or political to anybody, or normal political questions, until you hear the answer. One's like, should the government provide clean water? And you hear the dad go, nope. He answered no before he could even get the last syllable out. And his wife looked at him like, what?
And by the way, she's supportive of many things in the interview that Trump would do. She's obviously a MAGA supporter. But even for her, that was a bridge too far.
And you're 100% yeah. Right. She either divorces this monster, or she finds a way to make it okay, to love him anyway. Right.
Yeah. And that's the same relationship they have with Trump, by the way. That is the exact same relationship that each of these supporters has with Donald Trump. It's a relationship of, did he say something bad? Did he say something stupid? I think the Harvard thing is the greatest example, where Donald Trump was asked by Stephen A. Smith just about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, how he felt that people reacted to his attack on education with Harvard, to which Donald Trump started rambling about Harlem and then literally lied, not just misunderstood, but lied and said there were riots in Harlem. Now, at one point, he starts to recognize, if somebody tells him that it wasn't Harlem, they're talking about Harvard. And he starts trying to say, yeah, the black people in Harlem actually support what I did in Harvard. which is
and
just
just
like,
makes it
what?
even stupider.
So then in my comments, what you end up with, the Trump supporters in those comments, and they say, "You're twisting his words. He corrected himself." They're in this abusive relationship with this person that they can no longer, they're so attached to him. Their reality has become so simpatico with who Donald Trump is and what he represents that if they at any point say, "You know, that's crazy that he just lied and said there was riots in Harlem. Man, should I follow this guy anymore?" They can't do that. Instead, they do the mental gymnastics and they say, "Hey, he made a mistake. He spoke wrong and he did correct himself." Well, what about the lying? Why would he lie? What's the point of that?
Well, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. He didn't correct himself.
No.
He said, "People from Harlem love Harvard." The fuck does that mean? He didn't correct himself, so I'm still. Here's my question: why? You came from the trailer parks. You've seen it all. You've been around it. The why is the question. Why? Why are they so attached to him? Why did they get into this relationship? Maybe after being in so long, I could say it's an abusive relationship, and that's a psychological thing I can understand. I've seen before. Why Donald Trump? Evangelical? Why him in the beginning?
Yeah, and that's because he represents something that poor people have always looked to as an example of success. Where I come from, people would naysay intelligence. In fact, being a little too smart gets you beat up, right? Like if you say, let's say we have this conversation. Let's say
Gotcha.
I'm back where I grew up and I'm sitting across from some dude who's saying, Donald Trump's a pimp, Donald Trump's a gangster, Donald Trump's a, and I go, well, he's also a moron. And the guy goes, "What do you mean? What do you?" The first thing they're gonna say is they're gonna go, "How much money do you have?" I go, "Well, you know, I don't have a lot of money. I live around you, so you know how much." Yeah, exactly. You don't have no money, so how are you gonna say he's not smart? What do you think you're smart? Then you're gonna say something like, "Well, you know, I'm a lot smarter than he is," you know. And then that comes as that's an attempt to put yourself higher in the hierarchy than they are, right? Like that is you saying to them, "I'm actually able to understand that this man's a con man and you're not. Therefore, this should diminish your stature in this conversation." And when you're poor like that, when you're as poor as I was growing up, you're very defensive of who you are and what you value and what you represent because that's all you have, right? That's like if you have gang ties, it's your gang. If it's just your family, it's your family. Like you'll defend your drunk, abusive father, you know, oh, in a fist fight with another family because that's all you have. That's your reality. And you know, Andrew Callahan from Channel 5 News said this in a podcast the other day, and I was listening to it. There's three things that these people pretty much all have in common. They have a lack of connection, which a lot of poor people do, right? You have your community, that's it. Nothing else outside your community. They have a lack of security, which all poor people have. And that is, you don't know where your next meal's coming from. You always feel like you're spending every dollar that you get just to survive. You feel like, you know, if you're lower middle class, not like impoverished, you're working every day to try and to just be able to pay your rent. So you have zero security. You have very little connection. And then the most important thing he said was there's always one traumatic event, a person that loses their house. A person that loses a loved one, a person that gets a divorce. So, you know, in that gentleman's case that we're talking about, the Adam Mockler guy, right? Not Adam Mockler, but the guy that was in the video. If that woman divorces him, that doesn't wake him up and say, "Man, I shouldn't have, you know, been so supportive of Trump that I ruined my relationship." No, to that person, to him, he says, that woman, they got to her. The liberals got to her, you know? And that probably kind of gets to the heart of what you're saying is why? Why Donald Trump? Because Donald Trump gives people a clear enemy. And when you're down on your luck, when you're poor, even when you're working poor, middle class is working poor. When you're middle class working poor, you want to know why things are happening to you and you don't want to believe it's your fault. So the easiest thing to do is to say, Well, look at these liberals that want to give your money away to these poor people. They want to tax you. They're grooming your children, the transgenders, or you know, they're going to turn your kids gay. These are all things that people that don't have anything, it heightens those fears. Like, you might, as a parent, be concerned about the safety of your children, but if you're upper middle class, you're generally like, you know, things are pretty good. You're worried about your kid going to school. You're worried about whether or not they go to college or something like that. But when you're lower middle class or middle class, and, you know, you think, what are my friends going to think? What if my kid comes home one day and says he's gay? What if these people are turning my children gay? And Donald Trump doesn't go, what if? Donald Trump goes, they're turning your kids gay.
Right now.
Yeah, right now, with books and story time. And these aren't people that are good at math, all right? They, these aren't, you can say all day long, I said this to somebody the other day, this guy said, there's transgender athletes just destroying their competition.
Oh my God, yeah.
And I go, how many transgender athletes are there? And why am I not seeing, I haven't seen, you know, Caitlin Clark getting dunked on, you know, I haven't seen, you know, Amanda Nunes in the UFC getting, you know, beat up by, you know, some transgender UFC fight. Like, I go, where are all these people? Oh, they're everywhere. Yeah. And I go, okay, so you're talking about kids, man. You're talking about kids. My daughter plays soccer with high school senior boys. Yeah. That's okay. She's all right. It's not a problem. Like, you're making something that doesn't exist mathematically is infinitesimally small. It is it is less likely to happen to you than you win the lottery.
Right. Exactly. It is. I mean, if you're talking about actual numbers, what was the last, like, six? Seven?
Yeah, there's like six. Yeah, like six. In the entire nation.
Out of 330 million.
Yeah.
That's lottery numbers.
Yeah.
That's exactly lottery numbers, right?
It ain't hard to do the math, but they don't ever do the math because, like I said, because it's their reality. And that's what, you know, Andrew Callahan was making this point. He has this one Trump supporter named Kelly. And Kelly had lost his house during COVID. And Kelly used to be somebody important. Kelly was a bankruptcy lawyer. And Kelly was, you know, he had stature and he had connections and he had security and he had safety. And then COVID hit and things went bad for him, as for some people it did, you know. And he lost his house to a predatory loan. And after that, you know, now he's talking about that. What did he say? He said the government killed Kobe.
Okay.
The government killed, you know, it's like, it's not just enough for it to be like something where you're like, oh, okay, something could have happened. Like, you know, he could say something like, you know, the local city government is the reason I lost my house. And you'd be like, all right, well, that actually probably is something that might have contributed. Maybe you're making more of it than it is. Maybe you could have done something different. But hey, you know, maybe I'm wrong and something happened to you. No, instead, they got to leap to that, like, that fantasy land of this is, and that's them making you know that it's more important than just a small thing. This is a big thing. This is a conspiracy of epic proportions. This is something that you can't just go, oh, hey man, that sucks, that happened to you.
Yeah. So anybody who studies the conspiratorial mind, you understand what that is. That is, if it's random and if it's something that you could not have stopped or you don't know what's going on, the fear of knowing that there's no reason is worse than the fear of being able to blame something that doesn't exist, right? So then at least you know what it is. On the other side of that, why not blame the rich oligarch? Why not blame the predatory lender? Why not? There's actually someone to blame, and there's actually a good reason that you could, I mean, you could go off on and talk about how bad they are, and almost everything you say will be true. Why Kobe?
Yeah. And that goes towards the something that we talked about last time. And that's the Curtis Yarvin stuff. That's the
There we go.
the dark enlightenment, the techno-libertarian. Right now in this country, there's a lawsuit in East Solano County about Forever California, where they were trying to sue farmers to pretty much steal or force them to sell their lands. And across the, not just across the country, but across the world, right now in Honduras, there's a place called Prospera. And it's where I think it's Marc Andreessen or companies that he's involved with that have attempted to do the same thing in Honduras, where they create these cities that don't have
The
regulations.
company
Company
city.
City.
Yeah, that don't have FDA regulations, don't have nuclear regulations. One of the ideas is to create a city of biogenetics, right? Where they're gonna allow each person there to them and their animals to experiment in biogenetics to try to live forever. So the crazy thing about this is sometimes truth is stranger than fiction, right? It's
Right.
like you would think with these people, this would be right up their alley. I'll tell you this. So a lot of the I allowed a lot of conversation between me and Trump supporters during the lead up to the election because I really thought that I could change people's
I
mind.
did too. I did too.
So I allowed a lot of it, right? But a lot of these people, they would send me stuff that would say, "So you support BlackRock?" No, man, I don't support BlackRock. Like, well, you know that, they're doing this with green energy and that, and I'm like, okay, well, good for them. But no, I don't support huge companies buying up swaths of housing and making it harder for everyday average American citizens to purchase a home. And they'd send me, stuff with, oh, this person or that person, and they'd all be billionaires and stuff. What about George Soros? And I go, hey, man, there's a right way and a wrong way to be a billionaire. And the wrong way to be a billionaire is to not use your money to help people. And I go, and any person, George Soros, whoever, that chooses to enrich themselves further when they already have enough, rather than help others, that person's not on my good side. No, I don't agree with them either way. And so you point towards these cities and you say to these people, you go, so you were freaked out about BlackRock. You were freaked out about billionaires. You were freaked out about mind control substances in the air. You go, can I show you?
Chemtrails.
Here you go. And here it is. Trump, as recently as I believe March or April, talked about this idea, which are freedom cities. And this is that these billionaires, look, it's no coincidence that these billionaires all of a sudden became best friends with Donald Trump when they hated each other for his first 4 years. There's no coincidence. I mean, it's obvious that these people put money in Donald Trump's pockets because they knew that he would do what they wanted him to do. They just had to find the button. They didn't know the button the first time. He's an asshole. He's hard to deal with. He's the worst trade partner, and the world is finding that out, that you could possibly have. And these billionaires didn't think they had to. They thought they could do it with Biden, and Biden, for some reason, put a brick wall in front of him for whatever reason. I think he saw. He is a boy from Scranton, Pennsylvania. He doesn't come from a ton of money. I think people continue to forget that because he was in politics for 50 years. His family is ensconced as a connected status, a wealthy family now, but that's not who Biden was when he came into politics. And I think he wanted the steel industry to come back. I think he wanted the automotive industry to. I think he wanted unions to be
That's
strong.
true.
I think that, we can talk about his, foreign relations and some of the mistakes he made. And everybody's human. People make mistakes. And also whether or not that's even a mistake when you talk about on the world stage, what America has to do as far as alliances go and what, we have to do for those alliances. But really, I think that that is what it is. I think Biden looked at AI. I think Biden looked at the techno oligarchs. I think he looked at the progressive caucus that you're talking about, the AOCs, the Bernie Sanders, the Jasmine Crockett, that the Jamie Raskins that were like, yo, are we really gonna just like let AI start putting people homeless and out of jobs? Or is that what we're doing? And I think Joe Biden said no. I think he said, no, we're not going to do that. And I think when he said no, I think that made all those billionaires go, what? Like, wait, hold on. Because they had Obama's ear. In 2008, 2012, you know, this might be a bit hyperbolic to say, but a pact was made. You know, the Elon Musk of, you know, we're going to save the world. I was just watching this thing, Elon Musk talking about how he got into Texas and how he was like, you know, telling these officials, no, you don't understand. Climate change is so bad that we need to get to Mars. So we need to start, you know, and that was what was being sold to Obama. And Obama was a corporate interest president. You know, yeah. He did good things and he did bad things. But one of the bad things that he did was, he did, you know, really heavily handle the corporate interests, and those tech billionaires were big. That's when they're all coming up. That's when they're all starting to get strong and powerful. And I also think that on the surface, the ideas like these freedom cities. So this is to get back to what you're saying about the why with Trump, right?
Okay.
Is those blue collar people and the poor people, they want some kind of hope, something to say to them, like, your life's not always going to be like this. It's not always going to be terrible. It's going to get better for you. And when they talk about these freedom cities, just think about the one I just said, the bioengineering city, right? If somebody came to you and said, no, no, this is not crazy. It's all been already studied. It works. We're going to help you live longer. We're going to help your wife live longer. We're going to help your kids live longer. Your animals are going to live longer. Like, and you're going to live in this like Jetson type of city where, you know, the government, are you scared of the government? You hate the government? There's not going to be government there. It's going to be our government. And we're making you live longer. So obviously we want to take care of you. Like, you know, that's a hell of a sell to a poor person, man.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is this, and this is what everybody's going to find out with this techno-oligarch stuff. This plan ain't for you.
Right.
This plan ain't to take you to Mars. This plan ain't to make AI make your life easier. This plan ain't to give you robot servants. You're building the robots. You are the one that is going to be doing this. And look, and this is once again what I was saying was those Trump supporters would send me messages and they would say, they're trying to kill off the poor people by moving to green energy, and these poor people aren't going to be able to own solar panels, and then they're going to make their electric appliances illegal, or, you know, whatever, the gas appliances illegal. And I'm like, oh, okay, you guys really thought this out.
Right.
like, you guys went to a place where I was not really going with green energy, but okay, wow. That's where you went. And, you know, the realization is almost every one of these accusations is a confession. And the reality is do you think they're going to let homeless people live on the streets of the bioengineering immortal city? No. You think that there's going to be social safety nets and handouts to help unemployed people? What do you think? What happens in a cult when you don't want to be in the cult anymore, but you paid for a house on that property? It ain't your house.
It ain't your house. Wow. Yeah. Real quick, there's also the city in Tennessee where it's just the white supremacists. All of them have come together and decided to have their own city where it's just white, and they now have their, you know, their conventions that come from everywhere to Tennessee to be in the white supremacist convention, all the groups. But then there's a bunch of them that go back to a city that they all just live in. But when you look into it, well, they're trying to make sure that they don't use money. It's all Bitcoin. They've decided, I don't think that even they know. They think that, well, we've coalesced around white supremacy. This is good. But everything that they do, from their finances to their land, is ending up being owned by the network. And we go to the network state. Have you heard about that?
Yeah, I just actually just saw the start of an interview with that. And so this is actually really important. I was just saying this to one of my bosses, and we were having a discussion about some of this stuff out as much as I possibly can, because I think the left is scared of talking about this, because we started this conversation by saying these people on the right have delved into these crazy conspiracy theories about 5G causing your uterus to fall out, and you know, the Biden skin suit, and RBG has been replaced by a clone and all that stuff. And so or Jewish space lasers, Marjorie Taylor Greene, you know, the hurricanes are being created. And so we call out all these people, we mock all these people for this. And that makes people on the left really scared to talk about anything that seems mildly out of the ordinary. It's like, no, we got to stay in these lanes. We've got to be the sane adult that even when we see something crazy going on, we provide the stable environment. That environment's gone.
Yep.
The mental health institution has been taken over by the patients. They have it. They're running around. They're burning shit down. And you've got a couple left-wing orderlies like Chuck Schumer walking around going, things will be fine. We just have to maintain the status quo until this is all over, and then everything's going to be good. Here's the thing. No, it isn't. Because this is all a fucking farce.
Yep.
Donald Trump is a distraction. I've been saying this for 2 years. Ever since I started actually, like, stop making fun of the Trump supporters for the crazy shit, realize that, yes, oh, shit. Oh, the patients have knives. How did this happen? Like, wait a minute. We were messing around. We were making fun of these people, and these fuckers got a hold of some of the orderlies.
Right.
Like, they got hostages now. And I get it. Like, I talk to my subscribers all the time about this. I say, I get it. I understand why you're so mad, because he's the perfect person to be mad at. I go, but he's not the long-term goal of these people. He was the populist president. Because no, you think poor people would have voted for J.D. Vance? You think Donald Trump convinced these people to like billionaires? These people, they might have respected the hustle. They might have said the money was good, that these people were successful, but they would have never got off their ass and voted for him.
I think you hit the nail on the head earlier, though. It's because he's a moron.
Mm-hmm. He's not smart.
He has the vocabulary of a third grader. He has the intelligence of a third, second grader. I think my son is way smarter than him.
I think my son is way smarter.
He has the narcissism of, like, the worst, you know, character you could ever paint in a book or a TV screen. And they got lucky. They got lucky. I think they would still be sitting here trying to figure out how to do it if it wasn't for the fact that there was somebody who was such a Dunning-Kruger specimen, so stupid and so absolutely, abjectly ignorant, foolish, and unquestioningly dumb and incurious and abysmal in every possible way, a fucking goddamn golden orange animal.
Mm-hmm.
That also thought
that he was presidential material. Most people like that, they would rather just con you for your money and go live on an island.
Mm-hmm. It's too much work to do what he's doing.
Too much work
for most hustlers.
Right.
They convinced him.
And they didn't have to. I think that the first term is when they all realized, oh, shit. Wait a minute. No wonder we've been acting stupid, and the actual people whose education we've been stealing from them for 50 years can see right through it. They just vote for us because we got a hold on their religion and their afterlife. They have no choice. But we actually found someone who's an abject failure of a mental specimen. He was just dumb.
He's perfect.
And he literally just says things and they all go, I was just thinking that.
Oh my God. He is. He's the perfect idiot. And you know what? You want to know something that's crazy? The people that'll watch this video will sit here and hear everything that I'm saying, that you're saying right now, and go, that all makes sense, man. That all makes sense. And then 2 minutes later, they'll see some clip of something else on the internet of him talking about groceries. Oh, that's a wonderful word. You know, no one said it till I said it. It's a bag of things. groceries, and they will forget everything that they just heard from me and you, and they will go, I fucking hate this guy.
Yeah.
And that's why I constantly with my subs, I go, I always hear what you guys are saying, and morally, you guys are so fucking correct. You're mad at him because he's racist. You're mad at him because he's rolling back discrimination laws. You think he's weird because of shit he said about his daughter. You think he's a terrible person because of stuff that happened with Katie Johnson and Epstein files. I go, all of that stuff, you guys are 100% right. But you know what? You're distracted by it. I go, because the real issue here is that there is a patsy that's also a con man. This is a very strange situation. He is conning you while he is getting conned by others. You saw it, what happened in Qatar when he went over there. He signed America first, America first. And then he's like, here's a $1 trillion data center to put in Qatar. It's like, do you think he thought twice about the fact that that's hypocritical to his message to the people? Do you think the people that follow him think that it's hypocritical? Of course not. But you know what it'll do? It'll piss me off. It'll piss you off.
Yep.
Anybody with a functioning brain is going to be like, well, hold on, man. Can you guys at least be consistent? And once again, that's because that's a distraction. You pointed it out with the white supremacists in Tennessee. They want people to live. This is very libertarian. This is why it's techno-libertarianism, right? Mm-hmm. They want people to live whatever life they want to. So they're like, fine. You want to be a white supremacist and live with only white people? We don't see a problem with that. We don't have any problem with you guys doing that as long as you guys agree to our rules and regulations that you're going to produce the robots and you're going to sell your land to us, whatever you're going to do, as long as you agree. Because Curtis Yarvin and all the people involved in the whole dark enlightenment idea want to split this country into enclaves. They want us divided. They want us to
segregation.
Be segregated communities that compete against each other like corporations. And once again, if anybody's watching this and they say, look, man, you're being a conspiracy theorist now. No, they say this. This is not something that you have to suss out in the details. Look, when we're talking about adrenochrome or whatever the fuck these conservatives are going, you have to go through a whole dog and pony show to figure out how they even got to that information. Like, no one came out and just said this stuff. This, what I'm talking about right now, Curtis Yarvin says America needs to get over their fear of dictatorship.
Oh, yeah. They all say it.
They don't care. He just says it in a unalarming way. He says it in a really nice voice.
Listen. Well,
don't you think it's a good idea?
Do you remember the first time that you heard the person say, well, if we gotta have a king, I'd rather it be Trump. You remember that?
I have a 200,000 view video on that.
Right, there we go. And then what's the next thing you heard? America's not a democracy. It's a republic. All of my life, I'm an ex-military personnel.
Spreading democracy, dude. That's what we
do. That was it. And I promise you, the most leftist person in the world would be like, us being out there spreading democracy, we're turning into an empire. And the right wing would be like, democracy!
Democracy!
And it just took
goddamn
one
right we are.
Idiot to have them say, democracy? Yeah. Well, you don't need democracy. We're a republic. What does that mean? I don't care. But if I can make you say you don't want a democracy anymore, I can make you say anything. I can make you say anything. And that's where we are. I see the time, and we have so much more to talk about. But I wanted to get to two specific things before we end. One is, you say that they broke during COVID. This is I've noticed most, you've brought it up many a time that COVID was the time when when MAGA broke, was what broke their brain.
Mm-hmm.
I disagree. I want to know why you think so, and then I'm going to rebut it and you tell me what you think.
Well, I'm writing a book on this called Conspiracy Illness, how the MAGA right found common cause with the anti-vaccine left. And the reason I'm writing that book is because I have frontline experience. I worked in a health food store during that. And one of the things I always kind of use as an example, I have multiple relationships, but one really like kind of pertinent example, probably the prime example, is of a friend of mine that I did a podcast with that I can't release because he's afraid that his ex-wife will attack him with lawyers and sue him for defamation. And even though it's not defamation, even though he could prove these things, he doesn't
It's
want to
not
have
worth.
to fight that fight, right? He's just a normal dude, like you said about the Sharpie dude, right? Like he has bills to pay, his kids to take care of. He don't want that kind of smoke in his life, so he doesn't. But I still have this podcast recorded, and one day, if he allows me, I will release it, because it is one of the most insane things you will ever see. This woman went from the prototypical hate people like Trump, misogyny is bad. You want to talk about actual like cancel culture? Like she was like one of these people that was like. That man said the N-word. He should never ever be allowed to act in a movie again or whatever his job is, right? And so this woman was also a conspiracy left, anti-vaccine, anti-big pharma,
Yeah,
anti-government leftist.
I've seen
She
that
would show up
connection.
to gay pride. She'd take her kids to pride parades, right? Like she was the person that these right-wing people hated. Oh, she's grooming her children, bringing them to these pride parades, and they're all showing their junk and all this stuff. And she, over this time, and I had this real personal talk in this podcast with him where he went over, this is all real fresh for him at that time. He was still going through the divorce at the time, where the vaccine was the breaking point for her. He wanted to get the vaccine. She was like, if you get that vaccine, you'll start shedding it on all of us. And she told him, she said flat out, she said, you get that vaccine, you'll be dead in 5 years. She said, it will kill you. Like that is what's happening. It's a ticking time bomb. They're trying to take out the population. And this was like, he said he didn't see it happening. It was all happening behind the scenes, her on like the internet, going down rabbit holes. She got fully involved in the QAnon conspiracies. And so he didn't see it. He just noticed little different things. And he said one time he remembered one of his children saying, "Is the sun cold?" And this is a science guy. He loves science, right? He goes, "What?"
No,
And
come
his
on.
kid goes,
Don't
"Mom
do it.
says that the sun is cold." And he was like, "No. What are we talking about? What a no." And he said he started getting more into, and I actually had peeked at her Instagram before she deleted all, because she had to delete it before the divorce, right? Because that was all going to be used in court. And it was like this, it was a hippie lady, a total left-wing hippie lady sitting there going, what they're doing right now is they're trying to take this man out because this man knows what's going on behind the scenes. He knows that there is a ring of these people that are harming children. And he is going to stop these people. And I was like, holy sh— I wouldn't have believed it even if he had told me. I trust this guy. Even if he told me, I wouldn't have been able to believe, like, for the most part, like how bad it was without like seeing it. And I was like, oh my God, and this is, like I said, this is a girl who at a time working in health food would put me to shame. When it came to like, the Monsanto stuff, the vaccine, like everything. Like she would just like completely, and she hated Trump. Now she believes that homosexuality is a scheme by the government to depopulate the earth. And that's why I say that. And that's only one story. I've got multiple other stories of people, like, a lot of my subs, they get mad when I say this, but I said this before, I don't tell you what you want to hear, I tell you what you need to hear. And that is, I have people within my life that were really good people, legit people that would feed homeless people, that would, help people, let people stay in their house, like that now believe that like homeless people need to be taken off the street. Like it's like the libs are just putting these on, they're not even real homeless people. And the reason I think this is because the idea of mass psychosis is you create drama or traumatic events, and then you have periods of lulls and then more traumatic events. That's what war is, right? You're from the military. It's how you develop PTSD, is getting to this point where you never know what's going to happen. When is the bomb going to drop? When are we going to be attacked? And it creates an easily controllable people, because what you do is, when you get so overwhelmed with that type of PTSD, is you release control of your own life, your own accountability, your own responsibility to somebody else. And in the military, that's done on purpose, because they want you to listen during, really intense moments, right? Like, you can't be questioning whether or not we need to storm that foxhole. You need to fucking storm the foxhole. Like, we can't stop and have a democratic vote on this. And I believe that during COVID, inadvertently, because these people, America's entitled. We're a bunch of spoiled fucking children. We have a good lives here. Even the poorest among us have better lives than these third world countries.
Guaranteed.
And we're so spoiled that we don't deal with adversity anymore. Not in the levels that we experienced through COVID. COVID was hard. It was not an easy time for people. They were isolated. They lost their connection. They lost their safety. And many of them experienced traumatic events. And then Donald Trump capitalized on it. And he took advantage by creating there's a time of calm. He was gone. Nobody really heard from him. Then he would pop back in. And then he was gone. And right now we're seeing it actually happen right now with the tariffs. So for the first 100 days, what was it? It was nonstop every day. Oh my God, things are bad. Things are good. Things are bad. Things are good. Things are bad. Then 90 days pause. Oh, why do I feel so good all of a sudden? Why do I all of a sudden feel way better right now?
That
And then
nice.
what's going to happen? It's going to all the deals aren't going to come together, or he's going to decide that more people need to be deported. So now people are getting snatched off the street again. Oh shit, things are bad again. So in many ways, this is actually a way to break the left that did not break during COVID. And that's why I believe that.
I want to wait for that book and reserve judgment, because that's pretty damn convincing. And I also understand the psychology. I know exactly what you're talking about, so it makes sense. Here's the one thing I would say is they voted for him before COVID, and he was just as stupid, dumb. He came out saying, Mexicans are rapists. He came out saying,
Bad hombres.
all bad hombres. He came out with the Jews who would not replace us, the good people on both sides. He came out. I think that the difference between first term and second term is that he chose his people the first term and they chose his people the second term. I think we would be right here. If there was never a COVID, we would be in the exact same place if the people in charge were Elon Musk, who is a avowed Nazi, who wants apartheid back, who yearns for it, Peter Thiel and the rest of the tech bros. If they were in charge right now, they just hand him books to sign. You see him look up and go, "What's this one? Explain it for me." "Okay, I got you. Oh, that's a big one. Oh yeah, there you go. What's this one? Oh yeah, I remember that. That's big." That he doesn't do anything.
No.
I think he thought that he could do something the minute he stepped in office, realized, "Oh shit, I don't want to work this hard," and just failed at everything. If there was never a COVID, by the time he would have a second term, if he would have ever had one, it would still be the same in my mind, because the people who realized what it was they were dealing with would have realized that, oh, trying to deal with him like a intelligent businessman or an important person who understands anything, or a person over the age of five, is the wrong way. We thought that we were appealing to his greed. No. We just should have just told him he was good looking
His ego.
Said his dick was really big, and we wish we had one
Dude, you're the
too.
greatest. Yeah.
Sign this, by the way. And he'd go, yeah, sure, I would.
What did I just sign? Ah, it
And
doesn't matter.
every single one of the people. Now, I can't say about the anti-vax thing because I've seen that coalition. I saw that grow. I saw people, I've seen that pipeline. But I'm just not sure that that is enough of the people who already won the vote in 2016 who were willing to say, yeah, they're rapists. Yeah, bomb them. Yeah, put the kids in cages. All of them. All of them. I don't care if their parents go back home and they stay here. Who gives a shit? I want Trump to punish them. And I think
Yeah.
COVID is may have helped, and all the everything else you're talking about is true. I cannot see those people who's willing to put kids in cages and wouldn't also be sending them to El Salvador if he knew that he could get away with it.
I think you're I think both of what we're saying here actually works with what I'm talking about, because one of the
Really?
things I always talk about is that Trump's call is a perfect call. It's the perfect call. Like I said, this is my subs hate me because anytime I'm like, even if it's like I'm making fun of him, but I'm giving it credit, they hate it. So think about that, right? That's like the driving force in all of this is hate. It's two sides of one coin, right? You either act fearful, or you act hateful, or you act hateful because you're fearful. You're fearful because you're hateful. It's hate, fear of the other, right? So when you look at what happened with the left, the anti-vaccine left, they were afraid. They are afraid of people putting things in their bodies, forcing them to do things, the mask mandates, all of those things, kind of like the government played right into their hands, right? And so their fear made them hate the government, made them feel this like they're trying to control me. Now, on the other side of the aisle, it's always been hate and fear. Conservatives have always been afraid of the barbarians at the gate. Every 4 years, it gets brought back out. Immigration's out of control. The immigrants are stealing your jobs. They add on something new each time. Like this time, it was like they're actually like taking your kids' place in schools. Like, man, I hadn't even heard that one before. Fuck, now the immigrants are going to school? Man, when I was growing up, these immigrants wouldn't send their kids to school. They're just lazy, you know? It was
Look,
like,
what they're doing is they're taking Johnny out of the chair
yeah.
and putting Enrique in. So Johnny's in the corner is what's happening now.
Yeah, Johnny actually got kicked out on the street. Now he's selling drugs. You know, it's like, so I think the central thing to both what you're saying and what I'm saying is that COVID for me was a part of it, but it wasn't the most important part. It was just that was the point where it snapped. Certain people that possibly would not have given in to that fear and hate would have been like, yeah, but this is a moral boundary I can't cross. I think you're right. 2016 proved that there's enough Americans in this country that either delve in white supremacy or, you know, have that hate in their heart that, you know, in Dave Chappelle's words, if you got the hate in your heart, you gotta let it out, you know, like Clayton Bigsby. You know, it's they wanted that and he helped them do it. And it is the perfect cult because it brought together the conspiracy ridden anti-vaccine left with the super hateful right. And then here's an extra one. I'll throw this one in. People really love this one. It brought Bernie Bros in
Oh, yeah.
because
Jesus
Bernie
Christ.
Bros were angry and hateful at what happened to him, which was it wasn't right. What
It was
happened
terrible. It was
to
an
Bernie was
abomination.
it was an abomination. And you know what was crazy is they used Bernie Bros hate against Bernie. That like you didn't stand up and tell this establishment left that they screwed you. And even though Bernie did, Bernie stood
No,
up
I've
and
seen
said,
it.
hey man, like what happened to me wasn't right, and you guys are lucky that I'm the man I am. And that I don't want to see Donald Trump become the president, so I'm going to back your candidate. And that made those people hate Bernie. Like, I've literally had people in my chat that are like, I was Bernie, bro. Now I support Trump. And I actually converted this one dude. I believe I did. He said he voted for Kamala. I'm going to believe he did. But I converted this one dude by saying that. I said, wait, you voted for Bernie? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, and now you're going to vote for Trump. Yeah. I go, how do you make that right with yourself? I'm like, do you think that Bernie and Trump have anything in common? And he's like,
it's about the emotion.
He's like, I never thought about that. He literally said, I never thought about that.
Wow.
And he is like, I'm going to hang out in your chat. This is before the election. He's like, I'm going to hang out in your chat and I'm going to give you a chance to convince me to vote for Kamala. And this gentleman had a best friend that was Haitian. And all that stuff came out with Trump saying about the Haitians eating the cats and the dogs. And he came into my chat on election night and he said, I hope I don't regret doing this, but I'm going to vote for Kamala because this shit's too much. It's too wild.
Wow. Thank you so much, man, for being this. This was entertaining. This was eye-opening. This was so much fun. I knew it was going to be. I'm so glad you came. Tell the people where they can find you, because I haven't seen much of you on YouTube that much anymore. I think you've gone more to Twitch. What's going on?
I'm on YouTube at the handle for the channel is at TheAngryGinger3. The name of the channel is The Angry Ginger. I only live stream nowadays, and then I have a second channel called Angry Ginger Live Clips. So because I'm a very busy person, I work all day and, you know, I have family and everything. So, it's very, very hard for me to get on here and do things. So I've been mostly just live streaming and then cutting the live stream into clips. That way people that don't want to watch me for 3 hours talk, can pick up the clips in shorter versions. So that's where you guys can find me nowadays. And also, yeah, I'm over on Twitch as well. So I'm on YouTube. I'm on Twitch. I stream every Wednesday and Saturday. And I at 5 o'clock Pacific, and I try to do extra streams for things like this, where we watch like Curtis Yarvin stuff, and you know, I just like sit there with a earbud in my ear, so I don't stop the video every 10 minutes. As somebody said, I am the pause champ. Okay? I've got something to say about every fucking thing, so it's like I gotta stop myself. So yeah, so that's where you find me. My social media is, you can find me on social media, but I don't post or anything. I'm an old man. I don't know how to do it,
guys. Check this out, man. Check out The Angry Ginger. I mean, I think I'm not sure if you can be, I'm not sure if you can even pass with ginger anymore.
No, you want to know the amount of comments I get? Beard, man. People are like, you're not even a ginger. I'm like, I'll send you a picture of my balls for confirmation. Okay.
And on that note, there you have it. You see, this guy's one of us, people. I loved it. Thank you so much. And you got to come back. I'm going to have you scheduled on very soon, because there's a lot more we got to talk about. And it gets deep.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
Hey, yeah, you. Before you click away to watch someone unbox a tactical toothbrush, let's talk about something real. Political Drain isn't just another content mill. We're a digital front in a very real war. Not with bullets, but with ideas, with action. And with solidarity, we pair urgent news with critical education. And we build community around actual resistance, not the hashtag kind, the kind that moves. But here's the thing, none of this is free. It isn't. Behind every video is time, labor, research, and some weird guy asking if we're gonna pay the hosting bill. And yeah, some of that money goes to things we can't necessarily say out loud. If you know, you know. Let's just say our special ops aren't Call of Duty LARPers. They're people making real moves to protect, uplift, and organize. You're not just funding a channel. You're funding a resistance network in a world where capital still calls the shots. Unfortunately, in a system built on artificial scarcity, even mutual aid has a price tag. And if we want to grow, if we want to win, we need your help. We need your help. So if you've got even a few bucks to spare, toss it our way. It's not for ads. It's not for merch drops, but for people making moves in the shadows so others can do it in the light. It's just us and you. So fund the mission. Fund the fight. Fund the future. Because nobody's coming to save us. We save each other. That's how this works. Follow us on all these things you see here, and our link tree is in the description. Maybe even get some merch.